Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director for CEF of Illinois.
Hi, and thanks for listening to Telling Future Generations. Just last week in Springfield, I had the opportunity to come and share about the ministry of CEF and our after-school Good News Clubs before administrators, superintendents, and principals who serve in the public school from across the state. How this all came about was a total God thing from beginning to end. Last year in 2020, right in the midst of COVID, I received a phone call from one of our CEF staff workers in Joliet, Illinois, who put me in contact with one of the district superintendents from that area who was not only a believer in Jesus Christ, but also part of a newly formed association for Christian administrators serving right here in our state in Illinois, known as the IACA, in other words, the Illinois Association of Christian Administrators. I spoke with Dr. Henkel, who is one of the founding members of the Illinois Association of Christian Administrators, and I was almost in shock when he told me that there are over 300 members who are part of that group that serve right here in the public school in Illinois. Later, he also shared with me that of the 850 district superintendents in our state, that about 100 of them are professing believers in Christ. And honestly, when I heard that, I was stunned. I know that that's probably not the most positive response, but immediately I thought to myself, what? Here in Illinois? But praise the Lord. But my second thought was a little bit better. I said, well, where have you been all my life, or at least the last 20 years that I've lived here in Illinois? And I shared with Dr. Henkel and their members last week that this is like a match made in heaven. Here they are as Christian administrators serving in the public school, seeking to live out their Christian faith as believers in Christ in their public school setting with their staff, their students, and the community around them. And here we are as an evangelical Christian children's ministry seeking to partner together with local churches and believers in their community to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to the children, including to the children in the public school through after-school Good News Clubs. Now, before COVID hit, our ministry, Child Evangelism Fellowship, was active in about 93 elementary schools from across the state, and we were also just getting into some middle schools as well, and we're ministering to about 2,500 children on a weekly basis that met after school once a week in the public schools throughout the state. In the midst of my sharing the various locations where we were ministering throughout the state, I was so encouraged when a couple of school administrators, they piped up and they shared that they knew all about the Good News Clubs because they have been in their schools. And some of these Good News Clubs are still going on right now to this day, even in the midst of this COVID situation. But I know for others, this was probably the first time that they had heard about CEF and the open door to legally be in the public school through the after-school Good News Clubs, sharing with children the good news of Christ. What we have discovered through the years is that many people, including not only pastors and churches, but also school administrators sometimes, they may not know that the U.S. Supreme Court back in June in 2001, they actually clarified the Equal Access Law, and they ruled on a specific Good News Club case. I mean, one of our Good News Clubs cases that had worked its way up through the state of New York, and they ruled, the Supreme Court ruled, that an after-school Good News Club, even though it is faith-based, has the same rights to meet in the public school after school just as any other community group. And so I share with the administrators that, you know, praise the Lord for this past almost 20 years that we have had a wide open door in the public school, not only in this state in Illinois, but across the country in the USA, to share with the children in the public schools the good news of Jesus. But as I'm sure you can all guess, when COVID hit back in 2020, everything changed. In 1 week back in March of 2020, we went from almost 100 after-school Good News Clubs statewide here in Illinois, boom, down to zero. Now, that was a difficult week for us, just like it was for the school administrators in the public schools and dealing with all the things that they had to deal with back then, with the school closings and the switching over to e-learning, and even to this day with all the other things that have come at them and that they have had to juggle. But for us in CEF, it was particularly difficult because for us, you know, we're an in-person children's ministry. I mean, that's all we have done and known through all these years. And then to having to switch gears and turn on a dime and try to figure out how to keep ministering to children in the midst of all these changes and challenges, was difficult. And so I share with administrators that one new way we have started to minister to children is through holding online weekly Zoom Good News Clubs for school children, where parents, you know, they have to register and sign up their children to attend just like they would an in-person Good News Club, but it's only held, you know, through Zoom. And so we are right now, I share with them, getting ready to expand our Zoom Good News Clubs so that we can offer it to the schools and the school districts, to the children and the community, through each one of our CF local offices that's scattered throughout the state. But at the same time we are working on the Zoom Good News Clubs, we're also seeing, praise the Lord, an in-person ministry, you know, start to revitalize again, especially during the school year. And so we thank the Lord for that, that we are just now seeing, especially this fall, that some school districts are opening back up. And even there are some principals that are even coming to us and asking us to come back in and start Good News Clubs again. For example, in just one local school, we have 51 children attending on a weekly basis. In other schools, we're opting to hold the after-school Good News Clubs in local churches just temporarily until the schools are fully open again to outside community groups due to COVID protocols. Some other schools, you know, they're getting creative, with even one school allowing our Good News Club to meet outside the school building after school for just during the time when the weather is still nice outside. Now, the bottom line is that we want to keep on ministering to children any way we can and any place that we can to share with the children God's word and to point them to Christ. When Dr. Henkel and I were talking about the theme for the conference and my presentation with the Christian administrators, he mentioned to me the importance of resilience and leadership. You know, let's be honest, these past almost 2 years have been tough, physically, mentally, sometimes mentally draining, emotionally, relationally, and yes, even spiritually. Not knowing how to plan what mandate is coming out next or around the corner, or how to keep our schools open, our churches open, or how to keep ministering to children going and sharing with them the good news of Jesus Christ that our children and our students so desperately need is tough. You know, immediately when Dr. Henkel suggested that theme of resilience and leadership, I just thought of the life of Joshua in the Bible. It just kind of popped into my head, specifically in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. If ever there was a person who needed resilience and leadership, it was Joshua, to faithfully complete, to do all that God had called, commissioned, and commanded him to do. So the question of the hour is, how do we have the resilience to keep on keeping on, to faithfully serve the Lord where He has called us in the midst of difficult days or even in uncertain days that may still lay ahead? How do we do that? By remembering our personal call, our God-given commission, and the Lord's command to us as we rest upon His promise. The first key to having resilience in leadership is to remember our personal call. As believers in Jesus Christ, we need to remember that God has a call upon each of our lives. It doesn't matter what job or occupation we hold. All of us as believers have a personal call to serve the Lord. As my former coworker in South Carolina back in those days would say, that's why we still have 2 feet on the ground and haven't floated off to heaven yet. We are here not for us, but for Him. All of our dreams, our ambitions, our plans, even our educational goals, all that is to be set aside and is compared to nothing to our first call, which is to serve the Lord. And that is exactly what God wanted Joshua to know, that God had a personal call upon his life to serve him. In Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 specifically, it tells us that God said to Joshua that just as I have called Moses to be my servant, so I have called you, Joshua. He called Joshua out by name to be his servant to serve the Lord. And it was specifically because Joshua knew that God had a personal call upon his life that it gave him that resilience to faithfully serve the Lord no matter what. And we see that through Joshua's whole life. I mean, throughout the whole book from beginning to end, it's Joshua was committed. In fact, to the very end of his days, he said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The second key to having resilience in leadership is to not only remember our personal call to serve the Lord, but also our God-given commission. I know that might sound a bit redundant, but actually it's not. Our call focuses on us as a person who are called to faithfully serve the Lord as a believer in Jesus Christ. But our commission focuses on our specific task that the Lord has given to us, our assignment, the job that He has commanded us and commissioned us to do, to carry it out. Recently, I was on the phone with a lady from another state who has a background in military medical service and also in writing medical policy and knows medical law for over the past 20 years. And she shared with me on the phone that all that God is laying upon her heart to do right now in helping people with issues that are breaking out across the country, not only helping them medically, but also with issues with the military that they're facing. And she told me, she said, "Katrina, you know, I thought I was done. I was retired. I put 20 years in the military, but now I see that all my background, all my training, all my expertise, that God was preparing me for such a time as this." And then she said something to me that really just hit home. She said, "Everyone who is a believer in Jesus Christ, they need to find out what God wants you to do and to do it with laser focus, and don't let anything deter you from doing what God has commanded you to do." And this is exactly what God wanted Joshua to also remember, that not only had God personally called Joshua to serve him, to serve the Lord, but also in Joshua chapter 1, we see that God had a specific commission, a job, an assignment that he wanted Joshua to do. And what was that? To go in and possess the land. And we read that in verse 3 and 4. God says to Joshua, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness is the boundaries of the promised land, and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites," that's the land of Canaan, "and unto the great sea toward the going down the sun shall be your coast." So in other words, everywhere where Joshua's foot was to tread, he wasn't just wandering around looking like he was lost. He was a man on a mission with laser-like focus, seeking to be faithful to his God-given commission. But you know, the more I think of Joshua and his commission, the more I am convinced that his commission given to him by God was not just about a place or a specific task, but it was a message that he was to proclaim. And I think the key to that is found in Joshua's name. And the name Joshua in Hebrew actually means "The Lord is my salvation," or "The Lord is my deliverer." So think about it. Everywhere that Joshua went as he led the people, every place where their feet were to trod, he led the people across the Jordan River, to the marching around the walls of Jericho, seeing the walls come tumbling down, and throughout all the battles and challenges that they faced as a people and possessing the promised land. Everywhere that Joshua and the people went, they were not there. Joshua was not there to proclaim his name, but he was there to proclaim the Lord's name, saying, "The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my deliverer." And as it was with Joshua, so it is with each of us. It doesn't matter your place of service, whether you are a public school administration, a pastor, a teacher, a homemaker, or if you're retired, or if you're in full-time Christian ministry. All of us, as believers in Jesus Christ, have the same ultimate commission from the Lord to proclaim everywhere we go and every place where our feet trod that the Lord is our salvation. We're always to be pointing up, and that no matter what trials we face in this life or what's going on in this upside down and sometimes crazy combative world, we are to be proclaiming that the Lord is not only our salvation, but the Lord is our deliverer. You know, as I shared with the ministers that day, that if I were Joshua, I would be tempted to think, okay, I have everything I need. I know that God has personally called me to serve him, and God has commissioned me with a specific assignment, a job, a task that he wants me to do. So, hey, come on, let's go. Let's saddle up old paint, get where we ain't. But God knew that Joshua, just like us today, needs a little more. God not only calls and commissions us, he fills us with his promise to give us the resilience that we need to faithfully serve the Lord. In verse 5, God promised Joshua, he said to him, "As just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you." You know, this is almost like a threefold promise that even in our children's ministry that we can teach, you know, boys and girls to put in our hands, and it'd be good for us to do that too, so that we can carry it around with us, you know, wherever we go, wherever our feet trod. Think about that. We can put those verses around our hands. Just, "I will be with you. I will not fail you." And God said again, "I will not forsake you." What God was assuring Joshua and us today, that our resilience and leadership to faithfully serve the Lord and our personal calling and our God-given commission does not come from us, It doesn't come from within. It comes from the Lord, who has promised to be with us and to be faithful to us all of our days. In other words, what I'm trying to say, it's not about our self-efforts that secures our faithfulness, but it's the Lord's faithfulness that secures us in being faithful to Him. And even on those days when we might stumble and falter or even fail, God has promised, just like He did with Moses and also with Joshua, He promised that He would be here, right here with us, all the way to the end.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations. I don't want to forget, so please tell me.